You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on the day that Wisconsin football, the University of Wisconsin, says goodbye, begins to say goodbye to the absolute legend, the GOAT, the Don. Barry Alvarez is hanging it up after an unbelievable, and that there's no adjective I could use, there's no words I could use to describe Barry Alvarez's impact on Wisconsin football, the community of Madison, probably all of you listening in one way or another, in Ben and I for sure. My name is Asher Lowe. That's Ben Kenny. This is Badgers Wire's own, bringing you Locked On Badgers. I am a former play-by-play broadcaster for many Badger sports, including basketball and football. Most importantly, of course, your host right here on the Locked On Badgers podcast with my guy, Ben Kenny. We both write at BadgersWire.com, bringing you the inside student perspective filled with stats, special guests, all things Badger sports. Make sure you listen and follow for free on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can play Locked On Badgers. Also drop a review. If you're on Apple, hit that follow button. If you are on Spotify, to make sure you know when stuff is going on. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Badgers, at AOW_33, at Ben Z Kenny, for all the updates on the show. It is Barry Day. We're starting with Barry. The middle's Barry. I have my story to tell about Barry Alvarez giving me brats. That's all I'm going to say. I have my story to tell about Barry giving me the food of the Wisconsin gods at the Big Ten tournament. I'm going to tell that full story after we open this thing. We're going to close with Wednesday mailbag. Every Wednesday, make sure you send us your questions on Tuesday or on Monday or on the weekend, anytime before Wednesday, and we will get to them in the Wednesday mailbag, Badger mailbag, basketball, football, anything in between, anything about Wisconsin, anything not about Wisconsin, just send us a question on Twitter at AOW_33 at Ben Z Kenny. Ben, let's talk Barry.
All hail Barry, man. Let's have a take.
All hail the Don. Barry Alvarez, who started at Wisconsin in 1990 when Ben and I were each negative 10 years old.
Negative eight.
Barry Alvarez. I was negative nine, actually. I was negative nine, you were negative eight. Negative 10 just sounded good. All right. Barry Alvarez started at Wisconsin in 1990, coming over from Notre Dame. And what did he tell us on day one of the job? You better get your season right now.
I have it pulled up. He said, let me just say this, talking about the Wisconsin fans, they better get season tickets right now because before long, they probably won't be able to. Asher, do you know who was going to the football games before he became head football coach in 1990?
There's no answer because there was nobody there.
The answer is the band and the families of the players. The program hadn't had a winning season in 7-8 years. They weren't making bowl games. Barry Alvarez comes in, and in 3 years, they're winning the Rose Bowl. It obviously took a year or two to kind of get the thing up and going, but as soon as he came in, he made promises, he over-delivered.
How on earth did he do that so fast, man? I'll tell you one of the ways that I know, and I wasn't around, right? So other people can tell you a lot more firsthand than I can. But when I've been around him, here's one of the ways I know he did it. And one of the ways that he's impacted me meeting him, and I'll tell you about that story in just a sec. But he's one of those guys that when he's around you in the same room, right, eating dinner with you, at the same event, Wisconsin event, alumni event, whatever it is, you see him on State Street, I don't know, you see him around Madison, he has an aura. He
presence.
Draws people in. He's
a
like,
presence.
He's like a legend when you meet him, and he is a legend now. But I feel like he was probably always that way, right? Like now he has that air about him. He's a statue. I mean, he's immortalized. But I feel like that was always Barry Alvarez, a guy with a presence, a guy that could come in and dominate the room in the best way, lead with love, but also be a guy that demanded a lot out of you and that you respected, that you knew, yes, he demands a lot out of me, but I know that his way is the right way. If I buy in to his way, we're going to do great things. That's who Barry Alvarez is to me just from meeting the guy.
Oh, yeah. He was an absolute alpha in every sense of the term, where no matter what he did, whether it was tough love, whether he was picking you up, whether he was not putting you down but kind of motivating you, driving you to be better, no matter what, he was pulling the right strings. And, I mean, you listen to guys talk. One beautiful thing about today is you've heard so many former coaches and players talk about, maybe give anecdotes about stories from their time under Barry Alvarez or with Barry Alvarez, kind of talk about what he meant. There's Ross Kalaji, the current D-line coach, former player under Barry Alvarez, Melvin Gordon, even Josh Gosser, Sam Decker from the basketball team, Brian Calhoun, and everyone kind of shared the sentiment of, like, this guy and the values he instilled, obviously tremendous football coach, but the way that he got Wisconsin, the way that he kind of made the players proud for playing with that W on their chest and built the program literally from nothing to one of the best in the country. And then you talk about the athletic department to one of the best in the country. They just all raved about his presence, the way he carried himself, and the way he went about his everyday kind of day-to-day business. I mean, I don't think, and I was thinking about it earlier today, I don't think there's one person in college sports that you can point to, put your finger on and say, he or she has had a bigger impact on a state, on a city, on a school, on people than Barry Alvarez.
I would agree with that. So I saw something interesting today that I'd never seen before. It was a video of Barry giving a post-game speech after the 2000 Rose Bowl win over Stanford. Wisconsin had just won the 1999 Rose Bowl over Shutters, UCLA. Ron Dan was the MVP in 99.
Hey, the under just hit.
Ron Dan was the MVP again in 2000. And what's my under? What's my UCLA mention under?
I don't know. I'm going to start making a line. And I think that was record time. We're in the first segment. We're already
talking
UCLA.
Okay, but that one actually made perfect sense. I'm off the score, okay? I was reading off the score of the game. Or who did it? Sorry. So back-to-back Rose Bowls. He wins the 2000 Rose Bowl. And what do you think he's saying in the locker room? Did you see this already or did you not see it?
No, I did see it.
What would you have thought had you not seen that? What would you say in the locker room? I mean, after winning your second straight Rose Bowl.
A complete celebration. I would walk in and I would expect that little water bottle. Everyone just throws the water bottle around and we jump around and get excited.
I felt like that was a first round NCAA tournament win and they had like a whole path to go in front of them watching him do the speech. It was all about, yeah, we did it this time. Next year's going to be even harder. Target on our backs. Three is harder than two. And yeah, Wisconsin didn't win the 2001 Rose Bowl. It wasn't a great season. That aside, the fact that that was his reaction to winning the Rose Bowl. And yeah, there was celebration. Yeah, it was awesome. It wasn't all just like, I'm mad right now that we just won our second straight Rose Bowl. But at the end of that day in Pasadena, he was in front of his team saying that, listen, you juniors in here, you sophomores, you freshmen, you're going to be passed the baton next year from these seniors leaving. You're the guys that are going to take the leadership roles. You're the guys that are going to come in and lead this program to a third straight. It was never satisfied attitude. And that's who Barry Alvarez was. That's why he has a statue outside of Camp Randall. That's why he turned around Wisconsin's program forever, made a bigger impact than any single person maybe ever on a college team, on a college athletics program. And that's why he's the Don.
One of my favorite things, there's one article from today. Jesse Temple, The Athletic, great writer covering Wisconsin sports. He talked to countless former players, former media members that covered Wisconsin during his time. And their kind of little anecdotal stories all point to that, where no matter what it was, whether it was him trying to pick someone up because they were down and kind of motivate them, or if someone broke a rule, the way that he kind of instilled discipline was in the perfect, like his presence was there, was in the perfect way. My favorite anecdote I saw today, and this is going to turn into an open letter to Paul Christ. So Jesse Temple talked to Jay Wilson, who was WKOW sports director from 87 to 2006. So back during Alvarez's tenure. And Jay Wilson said, when Barry Alvarez first got to Madison, he kind of had to build a relationship with the media. He would ask media to draw up plays for their spring game. And then they would run it to kind of put the media guys on a pedestal and kind of build that relationship. Paul Christ, if you're out there listening, which I hope you are, give me a play sheet. Give me two plays during a spring game. I will transform the offense forever.
What would you run with your two plays in spring?
I really don't know yet, but if you put a play sheet in front of me, I'll figure it out. Daniel Wright.
You'd bring Jack Cohn back to Wisconsin, have two QBs on the field, and have Mertz pitch to Cohn, who lobs it long to Mertz, back to Mertz. Oh, man.
You're darn right.
That would be awesome.
Jack Cohn's putting on the jersey for one more snap.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. Speaking of anecdotal stories, I have a really good one that I experienced about a month ago with Barry Alvarez coming up in just a sec. But first, a quick message from Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the game. Built Bar is the truth, guys. Let me tell you right now firsthand. It is the solution for me for breaking through that hunger wall of like, I need a snack at 2, 3 p.m. I'm going to go work out later at night, whatever. I've had a long day. Built Bar is the answer. 180 calories-ish in each bar. Tons and tons of protein packed in. Low sugar. The nutrition facts are crazy. The flavors are absolutely phenomenal. We're talking caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake. These are all new, brand new flavors that just came to Built Bar in the last couple months. They have the originals as well, mint brownie, banana bread, all your favorites, double chocolate, the classics, coconut. Coconut got a lot of love in that Built Bar bracket challenge, by the way. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. The healthy choice for, by the way, it tastes like a candy. It tastes like you're eating candy, but it's still the healthy choice for anybody looking to break through that wall, looking to have a great protein source. Go to BuiltBar.com right now, promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, L-O-C-K-E-D 15, 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com with the promo code, all caps, LOCKED15. Locked On Today with host Peter Bukowski is the way to start your day as a sports fan. Available wherever you get your podcasts, Locked On Today with Packers host Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers breaks down all the biggest news in sports that day. Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your sports, under 20 minutes every single day. Make sure you listen to be informed as a sports fan with the biggest stories from around the wide world of sports. Story time on Locked On Badgers. Ben, you just told one that Jesse wrote about in the Athletic, and that was a great article. I really enjoyed reading that. If you guys haven't checked that out, definitely go to the Athletic and check it out if you have a subscription or buy one for that article, because it is worth reading. It's an awesome story about a bunch of Barry Alvarez stories. It's a story about stories, really. Just a collection of different guys talking about him. Here's my story with Barry. So I decided to go to the Big Ten tournament last month, and I didn't have media credentials because they were really limiting the media credentials they gave out. And I decided so late in the game to go that I couldn't apply anymore. So I was like, all right, I want to go. How can I get in? Wisconsin was selling student tickets for $10. So as my last hurrah, as what feeling like a Wisconsin student with all my friends, seniors, the class of 2021, we decided to buy $10 tickets, it was four or five of us, $10 tickets, Indianapolis, here we come, driving to Indy, and going to the Big Ten tournament. As long as Wisconsin played, our tickets were still good. So we could have stayed till the championship. If Wisconsin was in the championship, we would have left in the first round if they lost to Penn State. So we get there, and naturally, it's limited capacity, of course, masked, everything distanced, which means that there are a ton of open seats, like more than you'd ever see. But those open seats aren't just seats you can sit in. They're like zip tied. It was weird. They had like zip ties on the seats that were not for people to sit in, and the other seats were available for whatever your ticket was, and that was a seat that was open to people that had that ticket for that seat, right? It wasn't just free for all. Anyway, we get there. I go to my seat, and I kid you not, I'm in a different area code. I was in a different state from the game. I have never been that far from basketball in my entire life.
You weren't in the nosebleeds. You were just in a separate atmosphere.
Literally, I cannot describe to you how far I was from the game. I could not see a thing. And it was Rutgers versus Indiana. And that was game one of the two-game set because you get both. So for Rutgers, Indiana, I'm sitting miles away. In between games, I'm like, this is not happening. This can't work at all. So I head on down. I find an aisle where the ushers aren't standing. And I roll in, and it happens to be the section right above where all the Wisconsin parents and family are sitting. You know, I see Nate Reavers' brother wearing this full suit that's like emblazoned with Reavers' head on the back and the 35. And like, it was crazy. He was wearing this like full suit. It was nuts. You saw some people I recognized. Dimitri Trice's family I recognized. a couple other families that I recognized. I saw the Badger moms all taking a picture together. Micah Potter's family was there. His dad was there. It was awesome to see. The whole
was Hawkeye was Hawkeye Elvis there?
That was the second night. That was a different night, which I can get to a little later. But the best story for Barry, and I saw him both nights, comes from night one. So Wisconsin's about to play Penn State, and I find a seat in that parent section. And right before tip, we get booted. The security sees us. We get booted. They don't kick us out. They're just like, you can't sit there. It's not your seat. I think we were sitting on the zip tie seats, and they obviously knew that wasn't an open seat. So we moved one section up to like the 200 section, if you will. Like the 100 section was where the parents are sitting. We're right above that. Still great seats. Couldn't complain at all. And we're sitting right in the back of the 200 section is where we find four seats. So we're right behind, right in front of, I should say, the boxes where the rich guys sit, where the big time people sit. And right behind us, all these people start to flood into the box. And it's like the Big Ten box. It's like the officials of the Big Ten Conference, like the guys that work near the Fogo de Chao in Illinois, like those guys that work at the Big Ten headquarters. I'm like, okay, that's great. You're interesting, cool, awesome. Then I look to my left, a couple boxes down, and who do I see guzzling down a sherry or a gin and tonic, whatever he was drinking, but none other than Barry Alvarez, with a few other either family, Wisconsin people, whatever. Barry's sitting in his box, having a grand old time. We are about 15, 20 feet away from him. More than that. Probably 20 feet away from the box, but like 50 feet from where Barry's actually sitting, because he's like in the corner of the box. We're very close to him. And so the game starts, and I'm trying to look to Barry. We're like trying to get Barry involved when Wisconsin goes on runs. Like we're trying to see Barry's reaction, because he's into the game. Like, we can see him cheering, getting up. And here's the first reaction we get from Barry. Here's the first recognition that us four hooligans – and by the way, there were no other Wisconsin fans around us at all. Like, nobody in our vicinity. There were barely any fans in our vicinity at all. There were barely any fans at that game, that Wisconsin-Penn State game, besides the Wisconsin parents, which were in a whole different section. And they were loud, and they were great. They were helping the team a ton. But the game started, Wisconsin down, and they went on that crazy run in the end of the first half to go up double digits. In the middle of that run, when Penn State calls a timeout, we finally turn to Barry. We're yelling to Barry, 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 look over us. Barry, let's go. He turns to us, and I kid you not, like Ezekiel Elliott, with a first down run, starts doing the eating celebration with his hand, vigorously eating the air, like going nuts with the Ezekiel Elliott eating celebration. And now we're locked in. Barry knows we're there. We're locked in.
How many G&Ts before that, you think? Three?
I'd set the over-under at 4.5.
Right on.
So Barry's locked in with us. He's getting fired up every single run. He's locked in. He's loving it. Second half comes. It's, 10 minutes left in the second half. The game's over, but it wasn't. Penn State gets 40 back, right? So we're like, oh, we're all chilling. Up 15, whatever it was. Games on ice. We're having a good time. Barry starts yelling, and we didn't know it was Barry. We didn't know it was Barry yelling at the time. We had looked over and then realized it was him. But we hear someone say, you want food? You want food? You want food? And we look over, and Barry is like beckoning us over to his box, like, come on, come on, come on, let's go. Come here, come here. So when the Don calls, you come, and we go over, and he just starts handing us brats on brats on brats on brats. And he says, every single Wisconsin fan you see, give it to them. Give it to them. We're giving out all the food from the box. Give it to all the Wisconsin fans in this area. But also, you can give it to the Indiana fans, by the way, too, because they were cheering to fire their coach. So I'm good with that, too. Give it to the Indiana fans as well. Wisconsin fans, Indiana fans, you can all have the brats. Everybody's invited. Give out the food. And then we're like, Barry, can we get a picture? We're in front of this box. We're like, Barry, can we get a quick picture? And we got the picture. It's up on my Twitter. I posted it.
I'm looking at it right now.
And he puts – I don't know if you can see this in the picture – but he puts his hand like on my head. I don't know why.
You can see it.
You can see it. The picture. His hand is like on my head, on my hat. And we take a picture with his hand just like on my head. It was a wild experience. It was awesome. And we come back the next night for the Iowa game, and he sees us. We're in a similar area. And he's like, you're back again. And we're wearing like the same Wisconsin stuff. And it was a lot of fun. Yes, Hawkeye Elvis was there. Yes, Frank Garza was there. They were sitting together. And it was a lot of fun. It was really the Wisconsin family environment, right? It was the once a Badger, always a Badger feeling. It was very taken care of as Wisconsin guys, making sure we had food, making sure we had water, making sure we were.
How were the brats?
The brats were average. This is the state of Indiana, for God's sake. But it was a lot of fun to have Barry hand me some chicken tenders and brats and put his hand on my head for a picture. It was a great time. I'll never forget it. He was awesome. He was into the game. He was getting fired up. It was just great to see the Don in his natural habitat. And thank you, Barry Alvarez. Thank you for our lives. Thank you for our Wisconsin sports lives. In the words of Bill Walton, thank you for our lives. And it's so true, Barry, because what would our lives be as Wisconsin students? Would we even be, Ben, think about this one. Would you and I ever have gone to the University of Wisconsin as students if it hadn't been for Barry Alvarez? Because I think the answer is no way.
My answer is a hard no.
What's one of the things that drew you to the school?
I wanted to go to a school with sports. And for every college visit I did, my dad and I would go to a sports game. I don't think we even went on tours for most of the schools we went to. We'd go to a game. So if there's no Wisconsin athletics, I don't ever think I step in foot in the state of Wisconsin.
So, Ben, we have a Wednesday mailbag still to go. Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Barry. The legend is retiring. I think his final day is June. What was the exact date? I believe it was
June 30th. I believe it's effective on July 1st.
Got it.
And you open the show with, you don't think there's a word or two words to describe kind of what he's meant to the school and to all the programs that he's been involved with. I think one word is icon, no matter where he is, no matter where he goes, how he carries himself. And the second is Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame, which is perfect. Just that word, even if there isn't a tangible Hall of Fame for what he's done, just a Hall of Fame job in every way, a Hall of Fame person. And I see in the picture he's wearing his kind of vintage quarter zip, half sleeve red sweater, which should be retired along with him. I love it.
Wednesday mailbag coming up. We have one question to answer about Wisconsin football next year. What are we most looking forward to that's kind of an obvious pick? And who's a little under the radar sleeper that we can't wait to watch in Madtown? Ben, we'll get to that in just a sec.
BetOnline is the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football, long over. College football is slowly coming up, but the NBA is in full swing. The NHL is in full swing. The MLB just started. It's up and running. It's Masters Week, as I said yesterday. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality television. You get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is the best way to get your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit.
Wednesday mailbag. Every Wednesday, send us your questions. Before Wednesday, actually, send us your questions Monday, Tuesday. Get them in by Tuesday night, and we will try to answer them here on the Locked On Badgers podcast. Wednesday mailbag. Ben, we have a question in your realm. The gridiron, next year's football team. Give us the question. Give us your answer.
So this person wanted to know, two players that we, you and me, are excited to watch this coming season, this coming fall.
Shout out Dylan Noel, who sent the question on Twitter.
Yeah, two players that we are excited to watch this fall. One that's more obvious, and one that's a little more under the radar that people right now maybe don't really know as a household name that will be exciting when the team takes the field. I'll start it off. My obvious one, and I'm going to talk as a football guy, a Wisconsin guy at heart. We're going to the offensive line. It's left tackle Logan Brown. Now, Kovan Lannon is off to the NFL after last season. Great career with Wisconsin. Logan Brown, in the class of 2019, he was their number one recruit, five-star, the number one player from Michigan. I think the second or third highest recruit the Wisconsin football program has ever landed. He's going to start at left tackle. Now, obviously, It's exciting whenever you have a top prospect step into a role, but even more so, he played against Wake Forest in the bowl game. And while you saw the kind of freshman-esque, you know, performance where he's not totally refined yet at that point, this dude is an absolute mauler. He is massive. He's a mountain at left tackle, an absolute mauler in the run game, a mauler on the goal line. And now he'll start this year. This is his position at left tackle until he wants to go to the next level. And if we know anything about the state of Wisconsin and how they breed offensive linemen, how the program develops them, he's going to be a stud.
So for me, the obvious one was Jalen Berger. And it doesn't need much backing. Everybody knows why we're so excited to watch Jalen Berger as a sophomore, or really as a freshman in terms of his eligibility, but as a sophomore because the COVID year doesn't count. Last year, over 300 yards on the ground, two TDs, 5 yards per carry, a guy that looked explosive as a freshman, had really good moments, should have had the football more, in my opinion, than he did. And he will get the football as much as he possibly wants it this year. It is a clear backfield for him to take and run with, no pun intended. He's going to be the dude on this offense coming in, and I can't wait to watch him go to work. He has all the tools, right? He has that breakaway speed. He's physical, not afraid of contact, can get through guys, can get past guys. He's the combination of size and speed that can be a true number one behind a really good offensive line and guys like a Mr. Logan Brown.
Yeah, plus in a much better offense. Once the offense as a whole is improved, guys like that just explode. Have I told you yet that I actually went to summer camp with Jalen Berger back in my younger days?
Way too many times, but never on this show.
Yeah. He was he actually beat me in a basketball competition. He was 9, I was 12. And yeah, like he was just better than me at everything. My kind of under the radar guy to watch this season, outside linebacker Caden Johnson, came to the program in 2020 as the number one recruit from the state of Minnesota. That's right, Wisconsin is pretty much buying real estate in Minnesota, getting some of their top recruits. He 6'2", 235 pounds. He is playing at an outside linebacker position that has a Noah Burks ahead of him, has a Nick Herbig ahead of him, has a bunch of upperclassmen, but this is a guy that gained, I believe, 12 pounds this offseason. He's not really on people's radars because of how kind of busy the outside linebacker position is, but this is a guy with a ton of talent that will definitely step into a role this year. I don't think he's going to start yet, but as soon as he steps on the field, you'll see the impact he makes, and then that's just going to set up him starting at the position as soon as the upperclassmen move on.
So this guy's not going to play next year, I don't think. I'd love to see him play next year, but someone to keep an eye on, or just get a couple, you know, snaps in a garbage time type of game, but he's not going to play next year. Might redshirt? I don't know. We'll see. It's a deep position at Wisconsin right now, and this guy, though, I'm really excited to watch and watch his career growth. It's sort of a career pick, if you will, over the next few years to watch him, because I think he's extremely slept on and was slept on in this recruiting cycle by a lot of places. It's Al Ashford III, who, if you haven't listened to the episode I did with him, that's one of the reasons, right? Like, I'm biased towards this guy. That's how much I love talking to him on Locked On Badgers. His story is incredible. He's a guy that grew from 5'8 to 6'1. The coaches at Wisconsin didn't recognize him when they went to his high school in Colorado to not recruit him, by the way. They weren't going to recruit him. They were going to recruit, I want to say it was Gunnar Helm, who ended up not going to Wisconsin, choosing Texas. But the Badgers went out to Colorado, found that this guy had grown a ton, like physically, had developed into a true D1 corner, a shutdown corner, a championship corner. And yeah, it was Gunnar Helm. I just checked to make sure, but it was Gunnar Helm who they were recruiting initially. And they thought he was a linebacker when they saw him, and they were shocked he was a corner. His speed, his intelligence, just talking to the guy, he has that magnetism that we talked about with Barry, right? Like that guy that just like has that magnetic personality that I feel like will succeed in whatever he does in life. And I think he'll succeed as a Badger. And I think he was a really under-recruited player because of how late he developed physically. And I'm excited to watch him at that position or wherever he ends up at Wisconsin.
Yeah, and you add on to that, talking about the Badgers hiring Hank Poteet to coach the cornerbacks, cornerback coach with a lot of experience, and they added that position while transitioning Paul Christ to quarterbacks coach and Jim Leonard to only defensive coordinator and safeties coach, I believe. So there is a dedicated position coach there, where Wisconsin doesn't have the best track record in developing cornerbacks compared to other positions. But with Poteet there and these guys that have a ton of potential, yeah, I think maybe not this year, but going forward, he'll be a guy that makes an impact.
As always, on Wisconsin, Barry Alvarez, thank you for our lives.
Hey, we're talking the one reason they win the Big Ten championship this year. This season's for Barry. I'll keep it on theory. This season's for Barry.
On Wisconsin. See you tomorrow.